Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see you here today as we gather this beautiful Lord's Day morning, gather to worship our God. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today. It's good to have you here. Also, those joining us via live stream, it's good to have you joining us as well. So receive this call to worship. It's from the words of Jesus in John 13, 34 and 35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we come today to worship you because we love you. And we want to love you more. We come to worship needing love in our lives, love for family, for friends, for strangers, for enemies. So in this hour of worship, I pray, Father God, that you would touch our hearts. Fill our hearts. Open our hearts to your love, a love which passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So would you join in a time of worship?
Nothing else that I'd rather do. Oh. ushers to come forward for our offering this morning, which will go for LMC, formerly known as Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And children may come forward with their coins for my coins count.
Let us pray.
Father God, we thank you for this glorious day that you've given us, that we can enter your house, praise you, worship you, learn more about you, fall in love with you deeper. Father, be here with us today. Pray that you be with Jeff and John as they help lead us in worship. Be with Pastor Larry as he brings your word of love to us today. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us and how we offer back a portion to you for the work of the church here and the greater work of the church through LMC. We just pray that you would continue to encourage us to be the witnesses you have called us to be, to tell other people about the love of your Son, Jesus, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Listen to these words from Psalm 136. This is from the New Living Translation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the sun to rule the day. His faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the night. His faithful love endures forever. And jumping down to verse 23, he remembers us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. Thank you.
Just of kindness.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your matchless love. Just thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us, that we might be saved. And that is how you showed your love for us. And God, we thank you that because you love us, that frees us to love others. God, we just lift Mary to you as he brings your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So if there's any children here this morning, I'd like to invite them to come forward for our children's message. There's plenty of room to sit this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful weekend, so everyone must have went to the mountains or camping or to the beach or somewhere. Well, I'm glad you're here. So I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning quickly about one of the things the Bible tells us about God and what he thinks about us. So what does the Bible tell us that God thinks about us? Have any ideas? Well, I know there's a lot in there that he tells us, a whole bunch of stuff. But what I want to communicate to you this morning is that God tells us in his word. I think the main message he's trying to communicate to us, trying to tell us so that we get it, is that he loves us. Right? God loves us. So there's some people who think they've been too bad and God can't love them because he did something too bad. And that's not true, because God can love us no matter what we've done. When we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us and just lavishes his love on us. So that's what I want you to think about today is, what's in that cup? Water, exactly. At least that's what it looks like. So if that's water, I'm going to say this. The water in this cup represents God's love for us, okay? I got some marbles here. So this marble is you, okay? So what happens if I drop this marble into the water? It sinks to the bottom and it gets all wet. The point is, you're surrounded by God's love, okay? God loves you tremendously, and not only you, but God loves everyone. So it doesn't matter if your skin is white, or if your skin is black, or if your skin is red, or any other color. God loves you no matter what, and he has enough love to go around for all these and more, okay? So I want you to remember, God loves you dearly, and he always will. So in Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us this, that I pray that you would begin to understand that you can understand the depth, the width, the height of God's love for you, because he loves you very dearly. Okay, going to have a prayer, and then there's plenty of snacks, so you can take two little baggies along this morning if you want to. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these children. I ask you to bless them, and I pray, Father God, that they would know and understand how much you love them dearly. how dearly you love them and everyone else in the world also. And I pray that they would grasp hold of that and understand that. So I ask for your blessing upon them today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, greetings in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for today's message. I certainly do appreciate your prayers. And just for your information, the youth group arrived home a few hours ago because as I pulled into the parking lot, they were in the parking lot. So they had a good trip. And we're glad there's a few of you here this morning. So hopefully I'll be interesting enough that you can stay awake. Because you had a long journey back home. So welcome back. Well, this morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series in 1 Corinthians 13, entitled Love is the Win. And I want to thank Dwayne Weaver for pinch-hitting last Sunday with all that was going on in Pastor Tony's family, with Cullen being in the hospital in Colorado the other weekend. We didn't know what was going to be happening with that situation, so I thought it'd be wise to allow him to have some time off and focus on his family instead of the stress of trying to get prepared for a message and also worrying about his son in Colorado in the hospital. So thanks to Dwayne for sharing the message last Sunday. Well, just a quick recap of why this series. Someone approached me and suggested it'd be good to hear what I learned from all the years of serving as pastor here at Bonesville Mennonite Church. I've learned much, but if I could boil it down to one thing, it's that love is the win. Several weeks ago, I shared several experiences of how what I read in the scriptures and what I saw, observed, and experienced in life didn't add up. Something didn't add up. So if you want to hear, I'm not going to go through all that again, but if you want to hear that, or you can watch the sermon, July 17th sermon online, or you can listen to it as well. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13 through the lens of what Jesus taught us in John chapter 13 after he had washed the disciples' feet. He said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Loving others based on Jesus' sacrificial love for us is revolutionary. Because I believe that when we exercise this kind of love toward one another, it keeps us strong and united in a world that is hostile to God. Jesus is a living example of God's love, and therefore, we are called to be living examples of Jesus' love. And when we do this, I believe that unbelievers will notice and be drawn to Jesus. This kind of love is an attitude that reveals itself in action. How? Well, a few things are: by helping when it's inconvenient, by giving when it hurts, by devoting energy to others' welfare other than our own, by absorbing hurts from others without complaining or fighting back. But I realize and understand this kind of loving one another is very difficult. That's why people notice when we practice it. They notice there's something different, and they realize it's something supernatural. The Holy Spirit working in and through us Now, one of the things I said on July 17th is that fear is in the air. Because of all that is happening in the world in which we live, fear is in the air. Maybe all of the uncertainty, maybe all of the confusion, maybe all of the chaos that is in the air, the fear that is in the air, is because of all the things that we've been placing our faith and trust in is being shaken to the core. The Bible tells us this in 1 John 4:18a. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So if this is true, if perfect love drives out fear, I wonder if it's possible that the opposite is also true. Fear drives out perfect love. As I observe what is happening in our communities and around the world, perhaps this is why there appears to be a lack of love, true, genuine love for others. The fear that is in the air has driven out perfect love. Something for you to think about. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. At the very end of chapter 12, Paul says, after talking about the spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church, he says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Then he launches into this description of true, genuine, Christ-like love. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, the first five verses. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." So that's the verse we're going to focus on today. Love is not rude. It is not easily angered, or not is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. So I'd like to look at four ways to keep me from hurting you. First of all, love is not rude. We need to remember that Paul was addressing what was deeply lacking in the Corinthian church: true Christ-like love. Perhaps this is at the heart of almost every problem and issue within the church, whether it was in Paul's day or today. Rudeness was on display in the church in Corinth in their disorderly worship services and selfish communion meals. Rudeness insists on self-gratification at the expense of someone else. It is discourteous and impolite, rough, harsh, and ungentle. It does not honor others. So what comes to my mind when I think about someone being rude is a urologist that I was assigned to when I had a kidney stone. He was very, in my opinion, he was very discourteous. He was very harsh. He was rough and ungentle. And he did not honor me in any way, shape, or form as a patient. Well, because this wasn't the first kidney stone that I had had, I knew how other doctors had treated my previous kidney stones. And I distinctly remember one doctor telling me that he was going to treat me like he would want to be treated himself, which was to give me an opportunity to pass the kidney stone, which is what happened. So this rude doctor, rude in my opinion, did not listen to anything I had to say. Quite frankly, it seemed like he didn't really care about me as a person, as a patient. He was going to schedule surgery and we're going to take care of this stone. Boom, that's it. Well, thankfully, there's more than one urologist in this area, and I was able to get the treatment that I needed for my kidney stone. Now, don't get me wrong, there's lots, numbers and numbers of great doctors and nurses that provide great medical care when we need that care. There's also numbers of good people who love the Lord and strive to show God's love to everyone. But throughout life, you will inevitably encounter someone who is rude. So the question is, how do we respond to that person who is treating us rudely? Secondly, love is not self-seeking. The second way that can keep me from hurting you is to be more concerned about your needs rather than my own. The Living Bible says, love does not demand its own way. A person who demands their own way is not showing love. Love, 1 Corinthians 13, love is always considerate of others. Paul was addressing issues in the Corinthian church as he wrote 1 Corinthians 13, and apparently there were divisions concerning the Lord's Supper in chapter 11, spiritual gifts in chapter 12, among other things in the previous chapters. Paul desired that these believers stop focusing on their own wants and preferences and serve and love God and one another. The focus on others' needs corresponds also with Philippians 2, 4, and 5, which says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was humble. He was willing to give up his right to be God in order to submit to the will of his Father in heaven and to serve others. Like Christ, we also need to have a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, serving God out of a love for him and a love for others. So love is not self-seeking. Thirdly, love is not easily angered. So the third way that can keep me from hurting you is to not get angry easily. If love is not easily angered, then the person with a short fuse who becomes angry easily is not showing love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, Paul says that love is patient. Patience includes the ability to deal with someone else's weaknesses without being easily angered and without expressing that anger. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. So love doesn't fly off the handle at every provocation. When someone flies off the handle, usually things are said and done that are later regretted. We need to understand that love itself is not sinful, or that anger itself is not sinful, but can quickly lead to sinful expression if it's not controlled by love. Love will guide us in the proper handling of anger, because Jesus himself was, in fact, angry on at least one occasion. In Mark 3, 5a, the scripture says, he, Jesus, looked around at them, the Pharisees, in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Jesus was angry at the Pharisees' stubborn refusal to acknowledge truth rather than pretend that we will never feel angry. I believe the scriptures teaches that we should be slow to speak and slow to become angry. The scriptures also teach us that God is slow to anger and abounding in love. In Psalm 86, 15b. Earlier in this psalm, the psalmist was talking about the truth of God's wrath, and then immediately follows that with the truth that God also overflows with love. I believe this communicates to us that love pumps the brakes on anger. Slowing it down for the sake of the one who is loved. But do understand that God's wrath will be poured out at the appropriate time. Being hot-tempered usually involves making snap decisions or judgments, usually involves seeking revenge, and usually involves refusing to grant second chances. On the contrary, true Christian love refuses to jump to conclusions, refuses to seek revenge, or hastily judge another. It seems to me that the truth, love is not easily angered, highlights God's patience with each one of us. May God grant each one of us that kind of love that can keep our anger in check. Love is not easily angered. Then fourthly, love keeps no record of wrongs. This is the fourth way that love can keep me from hurting you, is by not keeping a record of wrongs. The Living Bible says it does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Natural human instinct is to keep score, is to get even, is to hold on to hurt feelings against those who have mistreated us. Many times it may seem like people say they love one another, and then as soon as a conflict arises, out comes this list of previous offenses, accusations fly, painful memories are dredged back up and thrown into the face of the other person, and bygones are no longer bygones. This is not Christ-like love. True, godly love forgives and refuses to keep track of personal slights. The focus of true love is not your pain, but the needs of others. Now, obviously, we should not allow people to continue to physically and emotionally hurt or abuse us or anyone else. The goal is a spirit of genuine forgiveness, and reconciliation. Some people have an axe to grind, but I believe that true Christian love seeks to bury the hatchet. Love keeps no record of wrongs because we are called to forgive as Christ has forgiven us in Ephesians 4:32. So in Matthew 18:21, when Peter asked Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" I mean, up to seven times? What was Jesus' answer? Meaning that we shouldn't try to keep track of how many times we need to forgive someone. So I suggest to you that that is a supernatural act and empowerment by the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. God sent His Son to die on the cross as the only way for us to be reconciled back to Him. Through genuine repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. If, after the one who has offended you has apologized and has asked for forgiveness, if you find yourself still hanging on to your record of wrongs, let me be very blunt. You have missed the point of God's grace and mercy and love. This is what I believe 1 Corinthians 13:5 would regard as unloving behavior. Now, I realize that what I've just shared with you isn't easy to do. It requires supernatural heart transformation that is only possible through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What often makes reconciliation so messy and sometimes very confusing is when the parties involved in conflict are unwilling to do what Jesus instructs us to do in Matthew 18:15-17. Instead of following Jesus' instructions to go to the person that has wronged us, what do? We sometimes go to someone else, gossiping, or maybe we turn away in resentment, and maybe seek some kind of revenge. But see, I know that God's instructions from this word, His word, work. How do I know that? Because I've had plenty of opportunities to practice going to someone else, asking for forgiveness. Have I always followed Jesus' instructions? No. But when I have, I've discovered that the principles outlined in the scriptures for us to follow as a guide throughout our life, guess what? These principles work. See, I recently attended a workshop. It was called Life After Roe, Creating a Culture of Life. It had to do with the Roe versus Wade being overturned, and now what does the church do? How do we create this culture of life? We have a responsibility to create that culture of life. So if there's not going to be abortions or less abortions, that means there are probably going to be more children, babies born, who maybe are born into unwanted homes. So is the church going to step up? Are we going to be involved in fostering, adopting? That was part of the workshop. So there was a panel there, and they were having this discussion. They were from different organizations. And on that panel was a retired Pennsylvania Superior Court judge. And she was a believer. And she said something that evening that caught my attention. She said, "Most everyone says that they believe in God. The problem is that most people don't believe God." I took that to mean that most people don't believe that the truth of God's word applies directly to their lives today. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Bible's true, sure. It's true, but maybe it's not really relevant for my life today, July 31, 2022. So I wonder what would happen if we really applied the truth of 1 Corinthians 13 and practiced true, genuine, Christ-like love in all of our relationships. What would happen? So the question I'll leave you with this morning is this. Which of these four things that we looked at today, love is not rude, love is not self-seeking, love is not easily angered, love keeps no record of wrong, which of those four things might you need to pay attention to in our lives today? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you speak to us with the intent of having your word transform us in a supernatural way. So I just pray, Father God, for myself, for each one of us here today, that as we journey through this life, I pray that you would help us to practice these principles that are outlined here in 1 Corinthians 13, dealing with love and our love for one another. And I just pray that your spirit would be given the freedom, that we would allow you to work in our hearts, in our lives, changing us, transforming us into who you desire for us to be as individuals and also as a body of believers here at Bowmansville Mennonite Church. We thank you and praise you for your deep love. Thank you and praise you for the way that you've sent your Son as a way for us, the only way for us to be reconciled back to you, that we can have a life that is in tune with you, seeking to love others as you would have us. So I ask for your blessing on this congregation in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So I invite the worship team to come and lead us in a closing song.
We are one in the body.
Well, thank you for your attention this morning. Just a reminder for the children that this is the last Sunday of the month, so you're free to come up here and put your guess as to how many dollars worth of coins have been collected for My Coins Count after the service. So would you stand to receive this benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week. You're dismissed.